So our friends at Charlie's Quick Stop and Bakery have taken to making some funny, sassy signs about their barbecue that they put outside the restaurant. And they shared a picture of one that said, those ribs are looking like a right swipe on Tinder. And it gave me an idea. Now, I've been married for almost 12 years now, so I'm told that Tinder is some kind of app where you see pictures of people, and based on their attractiveness, you can decide whether or not you would like to meet them. So if they look like us, you swipe left. If they look like Steven Beatty, you swipe right.
Gotcha.
Do you remember hotornot.com?
I sadly do not.
Okay, so there was a website where you would upload your picture and everyone would basically vote whether or not you were hot.
That's probably why I didn't know about it, because I already knew the knots were not in my favor.
Right, so you would go to hotornot.com and you would just vote on random pictures, and that's basically where they developed the idea for Tinder, it sounds like. Which is a very healthy way to start a long-lasting relationship, I believe.
I mean, it's not really, let's be honest, it's not really that different than how it works in a bar, where you're just kind of looking around and be like, eh. The difference is, how many beers does it take to swipe left and right?
That's a good point. So, my idea is, for us fat guys, some kind of barbecue app. So, you get a picture of that New York City barbecue that was making the rounds on Twitter a while back. You know, like, yeah, that's, we're going to swipe left on that. You get something like, you know, one of your friends from the north who says they're going to invite you over for barbecue, and you show up and they're serving hot dogs and hamburgers. Yeah, that's a left swipe for sure. And then you get a picture of Charlie's brisket.
Oh, heaven.
You swipe right. So the name of the app is the most brilliant part. Tinder.
But with an E instead of an I. Okay, I think you need to put, like, copyright Alex Fortney 2019 immediately before someone steals that.
And then as soon as you swipe right, it lets you know where to go to eat that delicious, delicious barbecue.
I feel like there's so many opportunities there for, like, marketing for companies and all kinds of stuff. You may actually have yourself an opportunity. In fact, effective today, this will be Alex's last episode of The Soccer Chat.
Soccer Chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga, so it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
Hello and welcome to episode 14 of The Soccer Chat. I am Adam Bruce, one of your hosts, as always, joined by Alex Fordney. We are brought to you by Roughneck Scars and Golden Girl Press. All right, Alex, let's jump right in. This is, once again, not going to be a positive. We just had a road game episode. Did you stay up and watch the game live in Tucson?
Yes.
Did you watch the entire game?
I did watch the entire game. I was the only one left awake. I spent most of Sunday morning, I'm pretty sure, passing a kidney stone, and had a lot more fun Sunday morning than I did Saturday night.
So, for April and I, so she had just gotten back from a day trip taking my daughter to Dollywood. If you're not local to here, to the Chattanooga, Tennessee area, Dollywood is basically redneck Six Flags. I think that's a safe way to put it.
Sure. Six Flags with less of a line. So, you know.
It's yeah. Anything. Yeah, so that she had to take a bunch of band kids to that, and so she got home and was just wanting something to enjoy as opposed to having to be that chaperone mom where you're not allowed to laugh at the things that you think are really funny because you have to tell them to stop doing it.
Right.
Those type of things. So first part of the game, it looked really good. Like, we got, you know, the guy from Dalton came up, Yaya, Cece, and I love that any name that we can't pronounce, we just give it a nickname. So his first name is not really Yaya, but that's what we're going with. He looked good, and I think he made it look like we were going to become what we've talked about being all year, which is a strong attacking team.
He was a fantastic added dimension, something that you could tell we had been missing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that was about the only good part of the entire game. And so let's get right into it. First thing that happens in the game that is adverse to us is a handball in the box. Right call, correct?
Yeah, the couple of times that I've watched the replay, and it's one of those fluke ones. I don't feel like there was anything he could have done. A shot was coming right at his face. He was trying to work himself out of the way, and it went off his arm.
Yeah, and I think that's why you didn't see a card there, because it wasn't... it wasn't that he was making an effort to utilize that arm to block something. It's just, it happened. But the fact is, it did happen. So that's just going to happen. I wasn't that worried at that point. In fact, I remember they posted something. They had a live feed going on the Alpha's Facebook page about, you know, where we're talking back and forth. And I said, you know, I'm not worried. Like, we looked really good. I think we're going to come back. Second goal, I still wasn't that worried because I still felt like it was a fluke. Like, Alex should have controlled that. It was – people have been putting out, like, you know, you can't trust – don't give Tucson a free kick. I'm sorry. It wasn't that impressive of a free kick. That was bad goalkeeping. You either know you're going to be able to control it, and you control it, or you get the ball the heck out of there with a punch. Those are your two options, not try to control it, let it come off you. That's bad goalkeeping. That's what it is.
Yeah, I felt like once he didn't control it, when he went lunging for the ball, he kind of exposed himself. If he had just popped himself up and made himself big, I see that shot deflecting off his shoulder or something.
The other big part, though, is only one of our defenders was actively going after that ball. The other ones were just standing there. Unlike the Tucson player that was aggressively going towards the ball. That's unacceptable. That's just bad defending.
Yeah.
Even at 2-0, I'm still feeling pretty good because I feel like we were controlling the game. First time all year where you looked at the stats and you're going, they're getting over 60% possession. The possession is not just sitting back. It's in that we're having a lot of balls go deep into their area. I was still feeling okay. I still felt like we're going to pull this out. And then when I really started to not feel that way was at the end of the first half. Yaya got that breakaway and didn't put it away. And when I say he didn't put it away, he had basically could have chosen any of the right half of the goal, and that's a goal. Yet he, for whatever reason, went across his body towards the defender on his attempt. I don't know if it's nerves.
Off balance, couldn't get power on it, yeah.
Yeah, he should have gone for the close end of the goal. Like, that's just... I mean, I will give him the benefit of the doubt. You're a brand new player to the team. It's got to be nerve-wracking. We missed that goal, and that's where I turned to April, and I was like, we're not putting away wide-open shots like this. I don't see us coming back.
I don't want to be that crazy guy that makes excuses because referees blow calls, but I rewound to the end of the first half and watched, like, the Zapruder film, the other part right before the final whistle blew, where Yaya dribbled in, took the shot, obviously off the guy's forearm.
In the box.
I don't know how they didn't see it. And it was really fun how USL League One didn't bother to try to show a replay. Oh, controversial. Missed call.
And they just went to the break. That annoyed me, too. I actually rewound it to watch it multiple times, which was a pain to do on ESPN. Because there's not, like, at least on my Roku, there's not a back 30-second button. So you had to, like, perfectly align it. You hit play and hope that during that hitting the play, you don't still have the line blocking where it was happening. So it was a little annoying, at least on my Roku it was. But no, I agree. That's a handball. It's the exact same type of handball. A little bit, obviously, further up the field, but the exact same type as what we gave up.
In the box would have created a penalty, and if you know, you're able to convert that, you go to a 2-1 halftime. It's a completely different game, I think.
Yeah. That said, second half, we were... What's the nice way to put this?
Flat?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a way not to say terrible, but we were to quote the famous Charles Barkley, we were
terrible.
I mean, it was just really bad. There was nothing about that second half that made me go, oh yeah, we're good. We can still pull this out. No.
They very early went to chase the game, went to three at the back, put in Jamie Dell, moved him in a fourth midfielder role. And those two goals were direct results of the fact that they didn't have four players at the back, and it's almost like they didn't know how to make the adjustment.
Well, the fact of the matter is you haven't played that way all season, and I still hold that that's not the way for us to produce. The issue wasn't – well, I mean, the issue was getting it once again out of midfield, but the issue is you've got a player that's basically non-existent. I mean, people were legitimately asking, where's Connor Doyle? Is he in the game? And he played the full 90. Like, how many touches did he have? I haven't looked up the stats, but it can't be many because I don't remember ever seeing him doing anything. And so here's an idea. Take him out of wherever you had him and put him in that position and keep your four at the back.
Yeah, I will say I've had issues with all three. The one thing that has not changed in this lineup over eight games is the three starting midfielders. the one thing, if you talk to any fan, that they talk about is our biggest gap, our biggest issue, the thing that we wish would be addressed, is the midfield. So, and I don't want to get personal with it. I've met them all. They're wonderfully nice people. But there's times where you don't know that Connor Doyle is on the field. He is not aggressively going after the ball. You see little flashes.
And I also don't know if that's Connor's fault. Connor is, by trade, like what he has done for years in his career, is be an attacking forward.
Right.
And he is playing out of position, in a position that he hasn't played a lot of, at least recently. And you're asking him to basically take on a role that he doesn't do well. And the one time that they did put him up in that attacking role, which was versus Tormenta 2, he actually looked good. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the one time I was like, well, here's the player that I expected to see, and it's when he's playing his natural position. So I don't know that I hold that even on him.
Sure.
And granted, I've said this before, I don't have 40 years of coaching experience, but dang it, it doesn't take a lot of coaching experience to see this ain't working, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's time to try a different formation. Like, we already saw that putting in a speed guy at the top worked, which we've been yelling at for 7 games. Like, we need somebody who actually is going to change the pace. You finally do that and you see something different. How about we try it? Just what's the worst that can do? You're gonna lose 4-0 on the road to Tucson? Oh wait, that's already happened.
So we move along the midfield. We have Josue Soto, who I think I joked to you already before. I feel like he went to the Michael Bradley Academy for back passing. I've looked at the stats. I believe he's leading the league in passes that are backwards. I see a lot of potential for good service if we could put him as a wing midfielder and allow him to get out the sideline, get a ball played long to him. He can put crosses in, and he can put them on people's head.
Yeah.
And where they're playing now, the way they're just kind of an amoeba of a midfield, it doesn't get him free out on the wings where he can be effective. And he has, as I said, I've seen lots of negative play from him. He doesn't feel like he's able to get free and try to create some havoc. He tends to always turn himself back, play it to the defenders, and swing stuff around.
Yeah, and I wonder if part of that is I still hold the strongest player in our midfield is Uefi, right? So Wally's by far been the strongest player in the midfield, and he's a defensive midfielder. So it almost sets the tone to the whole midfield to be defensive in the way that they set up.
Yeah, and I'd like to push back a little on everyone's best player is Uefi. I just feel like so many times he goes to make passes that are not strong enough, that get deflected, get intercepted, keep us in our defensive half. One of the goals Saturday, he got the ball stuck under his feet and fell over and turned it over. I see so many of those turnovers happening. You know, maybe it's just me, but I'm not seeing as much. And he comes back so deep to get the ball. Yeah. I almost feel like that's part of the problem. There are times where all of a sudden he's running behind the two center backs to get the ball at the 18 instead of getting it up near the center circle. Yeah. And it keeps us buried back in our own end.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we have to kind of, that we seem to kind of skirt on is we're not saying these things because we hate the players we have or anything like that. In all honesty, individually, each individual player, I'm still very excited about. Like all these ones we talked about, Connor Doyle, I still think has a significant amount of opportunity for production on the top. I think all these things that we're saying is just as a fan, we're not seeing it on the field when they work together as a group, and that's kind of driving all of us nuts. And I think, you know, I feel like a broken record, but I really want to see the diamond in the midfield. I don't understand having three forwards if you can't get the ball to them. That just seems like you're throwing players away, like you're forcing yourself to play with 10 men because you've got three guys just standing up there doing nothing.
Yeah, and I see someone with the speed of Yaya Cissé and how he could create so many problems on a defense that it allows Ayman Zayed to get free.
Yeah.
Which is what they talk about being his strong suit.
Well, and on top of that, he doesn't just have speed. He was really good with the ball.
Like, I agree, yeah.
It was like watching a slightly taller Stephen Beattie to a point. Like, he controlled it. He didn't force it forward at all times. He was willing to come back and go across. His head was up while looking for passes. Like I said, I was very impressed with him, especially coming we keep saying from the Dalton Red Wolves. He didn't play a single game for the Dalton Red Wolves, but coming from a position where he hasn't been with a team that has been together since February.
Sure.
And puts that kind of impact in, that's a good sign. I really hope he's still in the lineup on Saturday when they come into town, when they have Greenville, and we're hosting him here. Because I'd like to see him up close and personal, because, you know, I haven't really got a chance other than what you see on, unfortunately, not always the best USL1 broadcast. I mean, it is a single or dual camera broadcast with random zooms. So I'd like to see, what does he look like in person?
You're always guaranteed to have at least one moment where you think you're having a stroke.
Well, my favorite part in April got kind of frustrated me because it was late and I'm like yelling at the TV, like, stop zooming in on the random dude that doesn't have the ball.
Thank you. Oh, anyway.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's as far as we really need to go when it comes to that game. It was ugly. We lost 4-0, our worst loss of the year.
To be fair, at least they had practiced together more than 4 days.
Yeah, I'll give you that. The other part, though, to also be fair, we play Greenville this weekend. We win that game, and we win it handily. We go ahead of them on the table. So the sky is still not fully falling because nobody is breaking away. The results kind of went our way. If we had won this game this weekend, we would be sitting in third right now. So, you know, as bad as it is, we're 3 points out of your top four. And the top four is all you need to be in to make that playoff at the end. So I'm not – you have time to turn around.
Sure.
This is not a CFC season where if you're 8 games in, the season's over with this kind of record. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what's coming up this this weekend. Or actually, sorry, before we even get into that, let's talk a little bit about the other games that were happening for the Red Bulls around town. Unlike myself, you actually had some freedom this weekend to enjoy some more soccer. So tell us a little bit about what you got to do.
So Saturday evening – after my son's team had won their playoff game.
Congrats. In
the local rec.
Well done, Mr. Fortney. Jonah Fortney.
They, we went down to Dalton, Georgia, and went to see the debut of the Dalton Red Wolves, caught up with a couple of the other alphas. We were excited to see them and hang out with them. So, fun fact, if you have a season ticket, you get free admission to Dalton Red Wolves matches.
That is a fun fact, because that's not one they're seeming to advertise for some reason. So
we just kind of found out by chance, basically got lucky in that the person ahead of us had their season pass and said, hey, do I get in free with this season pass? And they said yes. And we were like, are you sure about that? And they checked, and they said, yeah. So we got in for free.
That's excellent.
My son got pressed into ball boy service, which was just a hoot. And we had a lot of fun. Dalton Red Wolves are a really good team. Was very impressed. I got to pull up my list. Unfortunately, I did not memorize all of the names of the players. But...
So before you get into that list, I want to ask you this. You've watched a number of CFC games. Have you been to any college games before?
I've been to a couple Covenant College games.
Okay.
I watched my school, Barry, that I graduated from, go Vikings.
So how would you rate the level of play kind of on that scale, going from college to CFC to...
It felt very similar to being at a CFC match.
Okay. I'm just curious, because they kind of advertise USL League 2 and MPSL, excluding the Founders Cup. We don't really know where that is. It's kind of the same, that level 4.
Right. Yeah, and it felt that way. There was lots of good skill. You still saw times where it was like, oh, you know, a higher level player probably would have controlled that pass or might have been able to make that run. And, you know, you see with the lower level where they get a little more physical because they can't make the adjustment with their skill.
Gotcha.
Just yet. So there was a little bit of that. But it was still very entertaining. They dominated possession of the ball. They were mostly in their attacking half. And they were only able to score the one goal, but it was a very impressive goal. Number 6, Fouad Adeniyi.
Yep, not trying that name either. That's my
list. Well, you may need to learn, because I would guess there's a decent chance at some point this season he's going to be coming up to help out the big club. He was very impressive. Big, but also fast. They were playing long balls to him that he was able to get to. He was the goal scorer for the Red Bulls.
So the one thing I will say that you got to look out for on that is more than likely the only players that we'll be pulling up or bringing from either Park City or Dalton will be ones that would not have any college eligibility remaining.
Okay.
So we'd have to look at that to kind of get a better idea, or they'd have to be willing to forfeit their college eligibility in order to do it.
Sure.
So I think that's something to kind of keep in mind, is that unlike a number of areas, this is true under 23. Some of these guys are done with college. Some of these guys are junior seniors. There's a player on the team that's a recent, like graduating this year from Dalton High School, that's going to Wake Forest. So there's going to be some balance on that. But yeah, no. Well, I think you're definitely going to see some players coming either out of there or out of Park City that will be coming to the team either at completion of season or if there's some injuries, maybe even to fill that roster out that aren't still eligible for college.
So he was impressive. There's a number of others, and I'm having trouble getting the names on this little sheet that I have with their names written down. But I will suffice it to say, folks, if you can get a chance, they've got some Wednesday night games.
Okay.
If you're not a season ticket holder, tickets are $5 at the gate. They play at Christian Heritage High School, which is a bit of a drive, but it's really not that bad. We live in North Georgia. We got down in plenty of time to watch the match. Game was over right at 9 o'clock. We hopped in the car. We stopped at Sonic for a milkshake. We got home with about 10 minutes to spare before the Red Wolves kicked off at 10:30.
Nice.
So, especially it being most of these games coming up in the summertime where the kids don't necessarily have to go to bed early, if there's a Wednesday night that you can scoot from work and get down there to watch, they're definitely worth checking out.
Awesome. And so the other game you went to was the Lady Red Wolves game that was on Sunday. How did that go?
It was one of our listeners, Brandon Dean, Scenic City Alphas. What's up, Brandon? He made the joke that it's much like being the being a U.S. national team fan, in that it's a lot easier to cheer for the women because they get out there and dominate, and the men can sometimes be a tad frustrating. But they looked really good. Not just, they had most of the possession. There were times where they were making six or seven passes around the 18 trying to look for a hole to get a shot off.
Wow.
It was very impressive how they really controlled that game. Jumped out early in the fourth minute and ended up winning 5-0.
And Gretchen's put together a pretty interesting mix of players there. She's got some recent high school grads. She's got, I think, six players from UTC. And then she's got some players on there also that are true semi-professional, in that they are out of college. Then this is where they're trying to make a mark for themselves to hopefully continue playing as a professional career. I know Carly Banks is in that group, and she was one of the goal scorers, I think.
Correct. Scored twice.
Yeah. So, it's a very interesting mix. And we got to go out for the red and white game, which was the most hard thing I've ever dealt with, trying to figure out how to cheer. It's like go Red. Well, they're both Red Wolves. Okay. And so I asked my daughters, like, so who should we root for? And so Jordan goes, well, do they have anyone with our names on it? Of course they did. One was on the red team for Jordan, and one was on the white team in Kate. I was like, we still know who to root for, so we just kind of awkwardly rooted for both. Honestly, even in that game, you saw the talent level was there. We went to a number of CSC women's games before. And they've always put out a good product. It's the same, really, honestly, it's the same team with a different moniker, because they, just like they did with CFC, they license the name. It's not that it's a separate team. So it's still the same organization. So Gretchen puts out a good product. She does a lot of hard work. It's a really good thing to get out there and do. I highly advise, if you have a chance, to go out to the women's games. Their season tickets are $35.
Red Wolves season ticket pass does not work because the women have their own season ticket package.
Right. And then it's $8 at the gate for them? Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. Okay. You can buy, I believe, $5 tickets in advance. It's $8 at the gate.
Okay. Good to know. So, yeah, that's definitely worth looking for. You know, not every single weekend is there going to be necessarily a men's Red Wolves game, but there's a good chance, especially in the next month or two, of having another Red Wolves option, whether it's the women or the Dalton team.
The women are actually playing this Saturday at David Stanton – not Saturday, Sunday at David Stanton Field at 3 p.m. So,
excellent.
Full weekend of soccer.
Yeah. And so next thing to talk about is the men's game that is coming up this this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. They've got a couple of really cool things happening, both pre- and post-game, as well as Greenville coming into town, which is a huge game for us.
Also, the triumphant return of Charlie's Barbecue to David Stanton Field.
Yeah, and just a real quick shout-out to Charlie's. We are very much looking forward to having you back. You had definitely more important things that you were dealing with then, so on the last game, so we totally understand not being there, but we missed you, so we're looking forward to having you back. All right, so pregame, cornhole tournament. My wife and I have entered. I was hoping we could enter a name. So my wife's name is April. My name is Adam. So I wanted to do something like AA at a bar. This should go well.
Right.
But we're terrible, so that we should be out pretty quickly or somehow magically make it to the final. So, yeah, cornhole tournament at Tap House, 4 o'clock. Are you going to enter?
Yes, I will be there. I'm currently shopping for a partner, so hit up at Soccer Chat at Twitter if you want to be Alex's partner in the cornhole tournament. I'm willing to do a $25 split, so if you'll pay $20, I'll pay $5 for the entrance fee.
Well done.
Just kidding. We'll work that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Love playing cornhole.
And the other things that are going to be going on at that same time is the Alphas are going to be having their pregame at Tap House at the same time. And we have a group of kids, your son's involved, my daughter's involved, that are kind of doing a thing called the Kid Alphas, and they're working on creating like a thing for kids there that they can make noisemakers together. So that'll be fun for them. So lots of really cool things that are happening before game.
We should also mention that this tournament is, the proceeds are going to benefit the Wounded Warrior Project.
Yeah. And, even the person who does enjoy alcohol, not always beer, but I do enjoy alcohol, wants to also mention you get a discount cup with that entry to get discounted beer within Tap House, which is never a bad thing. All right, so let's talk about the game that's going to be happening after that, the pregame festivities. Greenville, who currently has 11 points in the table, they're sitting 3 points ahead of us, is coming to town. They have looked pretty good recently, a lot better than we have. What are you expecting out of this game?
I'm expecting another tight game. We tend to play better at home. We play a more attacking style. Greenville wants you to attack them. They like to sink in and let you attack and then counter. So I think you're going to see us with a lot of possession in that half. It's going to come down to whether or not we can make that final pass that connects to someone in a dangerous area, or if it's going to get intercepted and we're going to get caught napping at the back like we did a couple of times against Tucson.
Yeah, and that's fearful because, honestly, if that's what they're set up for and that's what we do naturally without even the other team being prepared to do that, that doesn't typically bode well in the soccer world when what you're known for having problems with is what the other team is known for wanting. That typically turns out badly for you. That said, one of our biggest problems has been getting into the attack. So if they're going to bring us in, that can also work to our advantage. Like, inviting us in may take care of on its own the issue we've had in midfield on getting it to the attack. And that can change everything. You never know what it can change if you're brought in. Because in all honesty, the times that we have actually gotten it there, we've looked pretty good. BD's really good with the ball at his feet. Zyde has struggled a few times with finishing. I've joked around with, I don't know if it was you or someone else, that 3 years ago, I think his first instinct for how much he needed to get there was probably accurate, but he's a little bit slower than he was. He hasn't adjusted. Mm-hmm. But he's in position all the time.
Right.
And so if they're bringing it in there, I wouldn't be surprised if he snags one or two.
Right. One of the things that you want to keep an eye on, there has been buzz about Andrew Mullen having issues with a shoulder, so he probably will not be available. Leo Falla, who didn't play last week, I'm expecting to be available, probably going to step into that center defender role.
You mean they're not going to bring us more Falvey?
I would hope.
I mean,
I would hope they bring us more Falvey. I would not be complaining if they brought us more Falvey.
I just want to see that Falvey's available on the bench so that we can do our "We Want Falvey" chant.
Hey, Colin, throw us a bone.
Yeah. I mean, just be an available sub.
Just slide that practice jersey on. No one has to know.
Well done. The other part is, do you think we're going to see the other signing that came over from the last week? Do you think we're going to see the man from Park City?
I would not be surprised, considering how unhappy everyone was with the result. Talking in the organization wise, I know I'm sure they don't like getting beat 4-0. I think it wouldn't be a shock to see him come in as a starter. If not, see him come in off the bench and get to make a debut in front of the home crowd, get a standing O. So I would expect to see him at some point in some role.
So what is he? He's a midfielder. Am I wrong in that?
Yes, I believe he's a midfielder.
So he's one of those guys that, you know, midfield's what we've been talking about pretty much all podcasts about mm-hmm. wanting to see that. His name is Alex James. He's from really close to where my wife drives my wife nuts. I call it my hometown, but you know, I grew up in my mind from 10 years old until senior year of high school in Southern California in a town called Yorba Linda. He's from Anaheim, which is right next to where I grew up. So he's kind of somewhat from where I grew up. But yeah, he's a midfielder. He started the season with Ogden City, which is there in Utah as well. It'll be interesting to see how quickly he kind of gets involved. I think the midfield role is a little bit harder to jump right into than an attacking one. So that'll be interesting. The comment from Sean McDaniel was that adding Alex's pace and athleticism to the first team is something that we've been looking for. He's a great asset, and we're glad to call him up from Park City squad as we strengthen our roster. So it sounds to me like he's another speed guy, which, you know, you and I have been broken records that, you know, speed is something we're lacking.
Right.
So it'll be very interesting to see how that works out.
So we should add the end of the amazing festivities is post-game fireworks. So,
and the post-game fireworks.
America, stuff exploding, barbecue, cornhole. I mean, come on, guys.
Beer. Don't forget about the discounted beer.
Discounted beer pregame.
Yeah. So you get good pregame discount, cornhole, soccer, fireworks.
Brisket.
Yeah. You're really.
Chick-fil-A.
I think you're mostly caring about the brisket. Like, I feel like you take everything away. If you don't have the brisket, you're going to be pretty disappointed.
That's possible.
You know, he talked about bringing ribs. I kind of want the ribs. I'm just going to be fully honest. If his ribs are as good as his brisket.
The ribs sandwiching a brisket.
Unfortunately, when you mention ribs and sandwich, I get that nasty McRib in my image.
What do you mean nasty?
Oh, you're not one of those guys. Are you like the McRib? What's wrong with you?
You seen this gut? Doesn't say no to much.
Well, you know what? This fat guy over here says no to the McRib because it just disgusts me. Mainly because of how it looks. But
so is it time for the return of Alex's airing of grievances now?
It's time for the airing of grievances.
So scrolling through Facebook, as you're wont to do in this year of 2019.
2016 is when people scroll through Facebook.
And I come across a meme from a relative. I don't want to be too specific because I don't want him to feel like I'm picking on him. I would have gotten mad about this if it came from anybody. So here's what it says. Here's your friendly reminder to check on your teacher friends. There are single-digit weeks until summer break, and we are surviving on leftover jelly beans with only one box of tissue left and 10 chewed-up pencils for 24 kids. We are not okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll try to check in on you, but I have to go hand make a costume for the last-minute recital that you're having at the end of the year, and I have to work a double shift so that I can get off in the middle of the day to show up at your awards presentation at the end of the year. Oh, and I have to make sure that we can do this other thing so my wife can volunteer for you at field day. Plus, we've got our other recreation soccer that we're trying to wrap up the season for. Oh, and you know what? In single-digit weeks, I still have to go to work!
For those of you wondering, Alex did used to be a teacher and chose to leave the profession.
So, I understand, teachers. You have a hard job. But you know what? Other people have hard jobs, too. And your job does have benefits. That's all I have.
Well, I think that was a good episode. I think we managed to be positive about the fact that we can't win on the road. I did see one last thing I really want to mention. According to Thomas Scoggins, another member of the Alphas, we are now at the 420-minute mark since the last time we scored on the road.
Well, luckily, we have back-to-back home games, so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, we literally don't have another away game for like 3 weeks. So, we should do it in total hours since the last game scored. Just to see what happens. All right, guys. Hopefully, next time you hear us, we'll be a little bit more positive. We'll talk about how absolutely wonderful we once again looked on at home. We'll talk about the surprise, shocking victory of one of our two teams in the cornhole tournament. By the way, if you win that cornhole tournament, that is $25 to enter ahead of time, $30 at the actual tournament. If you win the whole thing, you get a signed jersey. I'm assuming that they thought we would win, so they've ordered it in quadruple extra large.
Hope so.
But yeah, if you win it, you get a signed jersey. So hopefully, you're talking about our victory in the cornhole tournament and the victory for the team this upcoming weekend. Before we go, we do want to thank our sponsor, Golden Goal Press, the best choice for you to get custom shirts, hats, mugs, and other items for just yourself or your organization. Check out their amazing products at a fraction of the price of other places at goldengoalpress.com. Also, thanks to Roughneck Scarves, official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. See you guys next time. All right, and now we have outtakes. What are we, 14? Is that what episode we're on now?
14, 15.
See, that's why I'm going to wait. And also, I have to add the lovely advertisement in the beginning.
Welcome to episode 110 billion of Soccer Chat.
Yeah. So I listened to Ars Blog, right? And he keeps track of his, and he's like on like number 379 of ArsCast Extra, which is just the extra. They do two a week, which is beyond me. How you have that much time on your hands. But they do two a week, and he keeps track of both, and then gave like an announcement of combined, this is our 1,000th episode. And yeah, if you're keeping track of it that much, that's impressive, but also sad at the same time.
That's going to be an amazing feeling in 45 years when we get to episode 1,000.
Yeah, we're sitting there. And finally, we went on the road. It's episode 1,000, the victory episode.